All right, welcome back to another episode of Just Kicking It. Me and my man B are back. We are back, man. Man, what's going on, man? We are in the middle of the beginning of all the leagues back. This is the shortest turnaround we've seen ever.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's like all gas, no brakes. Here we are again. Premier League is back. It's like a national holiday, man. I didn't tell my lady, listen, gotta shut it down. I'm watching the games right now. As soon as the game's over, back to your attention. But right now, man, just happy for the game to be back, man. So much going on, so many new storylines. I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man, because now, like even like college football and stuff like that, like even NFL, like I'm just like, it don't feel like it should be here. You know
it
what I'm saying?
It feels like a little different, man. All of the seasons, trying to keep up with the TV schedule. Like, man, I've never used my guys more than I am now. Cause I'm like, now who, you know, then you got the tennis going on, so much going on, man. It's incredible, man. So, I mean, we completely went to no sports for a minute. Now it's kind of like sports overload.
Yeah. Yeah. We got NBA conference finals is coming up. You got, by the time the NBA finals is going to be over, Champions League is going to be starting. So it's like, and you already like,
right.
There is no, because remember before, and I wonder if league's going to figure out that they need to take that baseball time, that little, them dead days and them 2 months of dead days. Like we may need to reorganize our schedule and take that money, that baseball signal where you just like them dead days of summer.
Yeah. I mean, this could be a major change for all the different sports, but I feel like I like the tradition, you know, as the seasons change, the sports roll around. But yeah, man, it's back, man, baby. I you know, your team, they're giving you guys in Manchester City a little bit extra time, a little bit of a extra
Yeah, we need a week off. We need a week off, you know. We had to go far in some tournaments, you know.
Okay. That's fair.
Just a couple of tournaments.
But I just wanted to point that out, a little extra race, you know, extra rest, you know what I mean? Load management, right?
Yeah, man. So first off, man, we got a couple of emails from folks, man. Like, dude, man, last episode, we downloads is crazy on the audio side, man. So let's jump right in here, though, man. This one comes from RT. He says, love the last episode. You all really dive into a lot of depths of the Messi debacle and how it'll be looking going forward. But do you see any situation where you would see a player like a Messi transform teams like you would saw a Kevin Durant, a LeBron James, et cetera, moving teams in the soccer leagues as much as you see in the American basketball, baseball, football leagues?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with Ronaldo. You know what I'm saying? Ronaldo twice.
Oh, yeah.
Went from Manchester United to Real and then Real to Juventus. So we saw him go twice.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one. Absolutely. We're going to continue to see that happen. Some of these leagues are feeder leagues, developmental leagues, and these other ones are, you know, sitting up top, cherry-picking the best talent around the world. I think we're going to continue to see that. And actually, as a lot of these teams are starting to get new ownership, cash infusion, I think you're going to see even more teams splashing cash to really get some talent.
All right. Next one up is from PPC. He says, do you all see a lot more American ownership in the leagues over in Europe because of the money and the ease that they've seen over this time of COVID?
Ooh.
I mean, we get the Glazers own my squad. That's they own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you what you call it, owns Arsenal Kroenke owns Arsenal.
Yep. And then the Red Sox ownership, they own who do they got?
Do they own Tottenham?
Liverpool.
Liverpool, right.
Liverpool. Yeah. Liverpool. That's right. Liverpool. So
and then you have Man City with the oil money coming from the Middle East.
Yeah.
I guess both of them you gotta really look, because don't get it twisted, somebody in Dubai might be like, I'm going to go and cop Tottenham real quick and throw some money at
it. I think that's interesting. The other thing that's another area of money that's coming to really start to impact these teams, I think, is telecommunications money. Because you got that Nigerian billionaire.
Because he's trying to buy you guys, right?
No, he was trying to buy Arsenal.
Arsenal, right.
Buy Arsenal. Which I think would be great. I think he's Nigerian, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, he is. I remember it's reading.
And then, you know, one of the top five wealthiest guys, the Mexican billionaire, he's in telecommunications. He's been talking about buying a European club.
Does he own a team in Mexico now? Like something in
a, I think he owns two different teams in Mexico right now.
So he owns like a whole couple of teams in the same league? Like,
Yeah. He's big. You know what I mean?
And they don't have no thing of like you can own multiple teams in League X.
No, and I think he owns a couple like in Colombia. All through Central America. So he's been splashing the cash, but I think he wants to.
The prestige of sitting in that box.
Exactly, man. You know, talking to them oil sheiks, you know.
Yeah. But see, you sitting in that box at, you know, I mean, at an Old Trafford or something like, you know, hanging out like
shooting the shit on a different level, you know what I mean? Yeah. With a different type of money. So I could see how that could fit, you know, it makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Last email we got in the quick hitting emails. This one comes from Black is Black. He said, I can't believe his brothers are talking about soccer at this high level. How do I pick a team?
Wow, man, that's a tough one. I always say a team picks you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just remember, like, my soccer coming of age was right around, you know, the early 90s when my folks was getting cable, you know, where we consistently had the legitimate cable channels.
Not through somebody next door.
You know, there's the bootleg box, and it'll be good for a minute, then it'll go out on you, you know what I mean? But, like, no, man, it was really about the team that I would see the most often. And then I started to dive into who their players were and the coaches and, you know, starting to understand the personalities and being able to connect them to a lot of the teams and things that I was familiar with pro sports in the States. And so that's kind of how I gravitated to Chelsea. So I always say the team picked me versus, you know what I mean, me picking a team.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it's kind of your style, you know, I mean – and me being a Manchester United fan goes against everything I believe in for U.S. sports teams. I'm not going front. Like, I'm not a legend. I'm not a, you know, traditionalist legacy kind of. But I mean, I guess, I mean, I'm a Cardinals fan. We both Cardinals fans. So I guess, but that's where we from. So I guess it's different. Like I'm always interested in somebody that becomes a New England Patriots fan, but they're from Kansas City. You know what I'm saying? I guess, in general, the way my style goes, I guess I probably would have been a Liverpool fan previously or Everton or somebody where it's like, yo, we just going to grind it out. But no, I want to do some.
The other thing is not – I'm sorry to cut you off, D.
No, go ahead.
The other thing is not flip-flopping. Like, once you do sit down some roots, man, it's for better or for worse. If the team gets relegated, if they go down, if they don't, you know, if they spend money in the offseason, if they don't spend no money in the offseason.
Got it right.
You take the pros and the cons. I mean, that's part of the fun. That's part of the ride. You know.
Well, I would tell them also look at the top 10 in the division. Does it go in a bracket and look at the top 10 and kind of choose from there? Go, if you go to the bottom, you look in the regulation potentially.
but some people like that, you know, roll the dice or, you know, perhaps you have a favorite team in another sport that's, you know, like let's say you from Pittsburgh and you're a Pirates fan. I mean, like.
But when's the Pirates have made the playoffs at least, though. When is the last time you seen I'm trying to throw somebody Sheffield make the top four? Or even go to Europa? I'm to my top seven.
Yeah, some teams just are perennial losers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And look, and then don't go into the other leagues. We're talking particularly about Premier League now.
Yeah.
Don't go into the other leagues where you're talking about the top four is solidified before they roll the balls out.
Yeah, where you start talking about half a century, you know, 120 years since.
I mean, come on, Getafe. When is Getafe going to win the league?
Man, you probably won't see it in our lifetime. You know what I mean?
We'll die.
Yeah.
And if it happens, we're going to die. Like, literally, like, that's one of the seven seals of the apocalypse is right. Like a Getafe winning or you go into a Bundesliga.
You never say never, man, because, like, I mean, you look at baseball.
I mean, what, Leicester City won our shit 1 year.
Exactly.
Recently, like the last 2 years.
Look how long the Cubs went, you know, in baseball.
That's true. And we are in a different. We went in the Marginetti Back to the Future car, and we didn't change up some stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? We're teams. I mean, the Blues won the NHL Stanley Cup. Man. Like, I mean,
exactly.
Maybe you know what? Maybe that's only U.S. sports. They ain't went to the DeLorean yet in Europe.
But sometimes it happens. I mean, in the Premier League specifically, it's a little bit harder.
But it's way more competitive, though. That we're talking about La Liga or Serie A. What Juventus has won like 13 years in a row?
Yeah.
Bundesliga, Bayern Munich has won like 12.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's true, but I mean, still some of the other leagues, the Scottish leagues.
Now you're trying to say somebody up for being in the MAC. You're trying to put them in the MAC conference. You're trying to put them in Western Michigan.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're trying to get them an automatic bid. Hopefully, you can get in there.
I mean, Europe is a big place, man. So, you know, just depending on, you know, where you fall.
Yeah, I'm not trying to send nobody to the Wales conference. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man, but some people love that perennial loser that dark horse, you know, is going to be a unicorn. It's going to take something super special to, you know, make a splash. And so they got to have fans too, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go back two episodes ago, we talked about comparing NBA teams to Premier League teams. That's a great index for you all. You know, if you want to get any, because I'm going to tell you do English Premier League because you're going to be able to get those games. Here in the state, if you're in the U.S., you're gonna be able to get them games. You'll be able to see every one of your teams between NBC regular, NBC Sports Network, and Peacock now for free.
Yeah,
you're gonna be able to see every team. You'll be able to see every team play.
It's gonna be easier. But sometimes you still do have the conflict with the time.
Yeah, I mean you have to get up early.
Multiple games going on at the same time, so now you got to pick and choose.
And La Liga is going to ESPN though too. And La Liga is going to ESPN. So I mean.
That'd be cool too. And then I'm watching most of it on Dish. They always have one channel that's got the
Dish. On Dish, they have like kind of like the Red Zone kind of thing. Like,
but it's not complete, you know. So whatever the different NBC network games are that are going on at the same time, mm-hmm. then they'll show those on one channel, kind of in split screen.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
but
wow.
It's not the same experience where you're just, you know, watching one
game.
Well,
you're focused in on it.
Exactly.
All right. Let's dive into it, man. Premier League has started, man.
It's back, baby. It's back.
It's back, man. Liverpool Leeds, man. Look, Leeds is a thorn in Manchester United's side. People that got stabbed, literally. People have died between Leeds and And, you know, the whole thing between Leeds and Manchester United, they're back. This is the first time they've been back in the league in 14 years.
Yeah.
And they went down to League 3 at one point.
Yeah, they've been
on the phone. And keep in mind, in 2001, they were in the semifinals of the Champions League. Like, man. And that's something I want to ask you before we even go farther. You deep into the game. How did Leeds go from being in the semifinals of the Champions League to down to Division 3?
It's one of those things where they were very talented at that point, had some really good players, but then the team ownership-wise fell on some financial hard times. Mm. So they sold all the talent that got them to that level in those tournaments to continue to bankroll the team. And then it just got to a point where now you have to bring in lesser players and younger players, which, you know, typically leads to inconsistent results, right, mm-hmm. points-wise. Next thing you know, you're falling through the divisions. But, I mean, talk about Leeds, Liverpool, two incredibly huge clubs, huge history. I mean, think Boston Red Sox and Yankees, like literally hundreds of years of history, diehard fan bases. And, I mean, for those Leeds fans, man, it's got to be amazing. I feel kind of bad. Back to the Premier League. Now they can't even travel in person, but still – back in the Premier League, man. And what a shootout, man. Just an incredible game. Back and forth. High scoring. That's a good game for somebody introduction.
It put everybody on deck for Leeds, though. I know everybody's like, okay, all right. Y'all a different look on this schedule now.
Absolutely, man.
Fulham dropped that egg against Arsenal. Like, okay, we got it.
Yeah, Fulham was not ready for Arsenal. But Leeds, I agree with you. Leeds is going to be a problem.
Yes.
You better bring –
They're going to be the Sheffield United this year, I feel like.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, man, you know, because they got speed, they got strong guys, they got smart, creative players. I mean, I really like what they
And I think Rodrigo didn't even play.
Right, exactly.
They kept him out because he just transferred. They kept him out.
Right. I think he actually got in towards the tail end of the game.
Okay, but he's a starter, though. It was like more of a thing like, you know, let's bring you in to kind of fill you in. But he's a starter.
I definitely, you know, I mean, it's very early on, but I predict they stay up. I don't think they're going to yo-yo.
Yeah, no. I mean, the one that's going to go down is Aston Villa. I think they're the one that's, I mean, they sat there. Then when West Ham had a handshake situation, I guess, in that last game, like, yo, let's just go and get this tie. We both good.
Right. I definitely would think they'll be towards, you know, fighting to stay up. But yeah, man, Leeds is legit.
Is Liverpool deep? I mean, like, Van Dijk was like he went. It felt like he went to the club or something.
Well, I know, you know, Van Dijk, he scored a goal, and then
one was on the offsides that he should have had on the offsides joint.
And then one was his fault. I mean, you don't let balls bounce in the box as a defender. Yeah. You just don't let balls bounce in the box. Yeah. And he did that. So he put his goalkeeper in a very tough spot. So I definitely got to blame him on that. But it's the first game of the season, man. And, you know, I guess it's all well that ends well. You know, they came out on top.
I mean, but you got to go back to the Community Cup, though, the week before.
Yeah.
With them and Arsenal, they couldn't get it done as well.
And I heard some people talking about that, the Community Shield. Is it a trophy?
It's not a real trophy. I'm just looking at the play on the field. I'm not talking about the trophy.
Okay.
I'm talking about the actual game. It could have been just them scrimmaging. And yeah, I'm just saying, like, how – yeah. And I'm saying, and, like, they should have – and it seemed like they were in, like neutral that whole game.
Well, I mean, what do you think? You know, that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Maybe that's a good segue, you know, looking at Liverpool. They didn't spend a whole lot of money this offseason. You know, is there a hangover or a fatigue after you win the trophy? I mean, you're fighting so hard to win this trophy, win it. Now it's year two. Maybe you kind of, you know, hey, I'm just going through the motions. We did everything we needed to do. Are these guys focused on their next payday? You know, how do I profit off of now? I'm a Premier League winner.
And because they got about – it's no way they can keep all these contracts at some point. You got seven guys that are
– yeah.
Get that check.
Yeah, big money. And then there's not a whole lot of competition for places. So, you know, I'm a Premier League winner. It ain't really nobody behind me that's going to take my job. So.
And you're not going to bring nobody behind me, because if you bring somebody behind me, I'm going to take it personal.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm going to take it personal. Like, so you're going to pay him 20 mil and you could have dumped that on me?
Right.
And then you got Sané's coach from with Senegal, right?
Yeah, he is.
Then he was like, Sané can't win. He's like, he been telling it. Remember that article when we first started the show?
Yeah.
And he was like, I told him he ain't going to be the one player of the year if he stay in there with Salah.
Yeah, I mean, they eat the same kind of food. They're really almost the same kind of player, you know.
Effort, yeah, they have 25 goals. He says 50 goals, really, if you have one guy.
I mean, and they're deadly together, you know what I mean? Like, even some of the link-up play in that first game, man, just how the mental connection those two players have, bouncing the ball back and forth, creating opportunities.
Is it true that they have like kind of a beef or something? Like, I mean, are you reading the tabloid?
Well, yeah, I think
so. Or is
that
just
a
thing just because they both got 25 goals one season? We gotta figure out something.
I think it's like a pack of dogs or a pack of wolves, man. Like, you're gonna have two or three guys that feel like they are that dude, you know, and they're gonna bicker and bump heads. And if they're not both firing on all cylinders, then, you know, they start to get in their feelings, and that'll be reflected on what you see on the field. But I think it's a good competition.
Yeah, I agree.
For one to be top dog.
Because I think Liverpool and Bayern is the future of where soccer is going.
Yeah.
Because before, previously, we watched, you got Messi up front, or you got Ronaldo up front, or you got your striker up front. He is the man, and we're going to all feed him. And if he's not eating, we ain't going to win. Now, people are running seven deep now. Like, Liverpool showed you can run seven deep. Bayern showed you can run seven deep.
I agree. Both of those teams, it's not about the big, strong central striker anymore. Mm-hmm. It's about a lot of talented, quick, fast, highly skilled guys where the attack can come from anywhere and can come in a lot of – these guys can combine to create opportunities. And that's what I see in Liverpool and Bayern Munich, where in the past has been the big, strong target man, put the ball into him. Yep. Like you say, if he's on, he's on. If he's not on, he's not on.
Maybe we can get some from the midfield, somebody come in from a midfield long joint. If it come off a rebound, I got it. But we going to put it all into Ronaldo. Like, that's – I mean, basically, Ronaldo's really the – he's basically the Tim Duncan of soccer, because he's like the last of like the traditional big man.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy, definitely, and that's important, man. You know, the game evolves, man, and you're seeing that in the score lines too. You know, opening day of 4-3 game. You know, that's a reflection of that.
Yeah, so I mean, we also had Arsenal just getting into Fulham, man. Is Fulham the one that had to do with the free kick from damn near midfield? Is that one, in the relegation game?
Oh, yeah. That
and
is.
And then that was a defender, and then he scored again right after that on a breakaway.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Arsenal.
That goal was one of the sickest goals I've seen in a long time, though. Like from like.
That was some wild shit. I definitely remember that. That was wild.
And that was an extra time too. That was an extra time.
Yeah, that's a way to end the game. But Arsenal looked good, man. A lot of attack, whole lot of attack.
I mean, your boy William was out there. He was dropping dimes.
He does what he does, man. And I did see even in our game, the Chelsea game, I saw some free kicks and some situations where he would have been on the ball, where we're gonna miss him. But Arsenal, our loss is Arsenal's gain. And I saw him; he whipped some dangerous balls into the box.
Yeah, he almost had that free kick too. Yeah. He almost had the free kick too. That should have went and hit the post. He's
deadly on free kicks, absolutely.
But we, as we talked about earlier, they're kind of are they like the Lakers when they had everybody that was old on there? Was like, we just gonna try to kind of just veteran you out, and like we just gonna bring out Gary Payton and Karl Malone and.
I see them more like a current Houston Rockets.
Offense, so you said it earlier, right? Okay.
Yeah, all offense, no defense. Yeah. You know, like if we're going to go into a shootout, yeah, Arsenal's, you know, I
Lens is dope, though. Their keeper is dope. Lens is dope.
He is, but if, you know, if it's a cold, wet, rainy, windy situation.
And you got Luis.
It's going to be a 1-0 sort of game. I don't feel comfortable with those guys.
And you got Luis. Luis made us want to throw an elbow on somebody's neck and get kicked out.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, he's a basket case. He's like a Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean? You just don't know what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, shout out my boy Brandon, who's an Arsenal fan. He said – my other Brandon, he says that Gabriel coming in is going to offset Luis and make him better.
I think so, and I think it fits, man. Now you got that Brazilian contention on that Arsenal team. So I think they're going to be Samba and in the dressing room, and it's going to work well, man, and they're going to all be on the same kind of ESP wavelength. You saw it right out of the box, you know, so I think that's going to work real well for them. Brazilians always tend to do well at Arsenal.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. So, I mean, staying in the EPL, man, let's talk about these sleeper teams, man.
Yeah.
We have three – we got Leeds, Southampton, and Everton, man.
So we kind of touched on Leeds, man. I mean, they can put the ball in the back of the net, and that's always the name of the game.
And nobody's got no tape on them. Like, they kind of like
– Yeah, exactly. What's the scouting report?
Yeah, it's like being an NCAA tournament against back in the day when Gonzaga before you – but Gonzaga was popping, you like, okay, but dang, they're running out 3 6-10 dudes and shoot three. Right. I didn't even know this was possible.
Right. No, that's a really good analogy on that. But, yeah, they show no fear, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No fear. You know, none of that, gingerly going into a 50-50 sort of, you know, man, they like, hey, we here to play. It don't matter who it is. You know, it's the same game. So, I like to see that out of Leeds. Southampton, they lost to another
CP,
London team.
CP.
Crystal Palace. And even though they lost, I like what I saw from them. Talk about attacking style of play and that traditional Premier League sort of play. Long diagonal balls from the back over the top, pinpoint accuracy and creating chances. They didn't put a whole lot of balls in the back of the net in that opening game. But I think over time, you know, again, that's one of those teams where, like we were talking about last week, on a Wednesday night, on a Thursday night, you know, on the South Coast. Cold and windy, that's going to be a problem, and they'll steal 3 points from you, or they'll tie you up on a game you thought you were going
to get 3 points. You already marked that for your 3 points, and now you got a tie.
They'll steal that from you. Or, you know, they'll keep somebody who should be in the top four. Those are the sort of teams that'll keep somebody out of that top four.
Like how Leicester City was an example with them as well last year, them and Sheffield. shit, both of them popped them last year or tied them, and it's like, oh wow, okay. That, and then you look at their record. That's why they didn't make the top four.
Exactly. Yep. So I definitely see those sorts of teams as, you know, crapshoot games, trap games, you know, on the schedule when you see those teams pop up.
And then we got Everton, man. Everton today, they just popped Tottenham today, didn't they?
They did. And I was happy to see that. Again, this rolls back right into last week. Liverpool with all their shine. Everton is right across the river. You know what I mean? So I'm happy to see them kind of reload. They got a top-of-the-line experienced coach in Ancelotti. And then they're splashing some money, which is not –
they are. And it's low-key money, though. It's about a couple of dubs, Sex. They, you know what I'm saying? They're about a couple of dubs. trying to get up to a brick. You know what I'm saying?
But they went ahead and did it this time, man. And, return on investment straight away. Rodriguez coming over from Real Madrid, from via Bayern Munich. Him being in Premier League, you know, is always – kind of interesting to see. Is it going to take a long time for these guys to settle and kind of click? But straight away, he hit the ground running, influencing games, bringing that attacking style, that flair, the skill set. And then, you know, some of their other signings. That was the other guy we were trying to think of last week, Dakare.
That's what we started to think of. Okay.
He's Senegalese as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He is that traditional box-to-box steel strength, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's
going to throw some people out of the way. He's going to be physical, you know, hard to take the ball from him. And so he fits, man. He's like the perfect workhorse to go with the finesse guy in the Colombian, Rodriguez. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, man. It's interesting, man. And even stand just around that area. Do you think – let's talk about Harry Kane, man, with Tottenham. Do we have a situation where we could see three top – players, because I can see three top players being available this next transfer window. Because I can see Harry Kane being like, you know what, I'm going to put my transfer request in.
You know, that's...
I mean, we go back and forth about Harry Kane. Is he legit, you know, like he looks like a white supremacist, you know, like we don't... him and Vardy, that's a part of my hate with him and Vardy. They look like... they probably super cool if you kicking with them. They just look like... they want to call you out your name. You know what I mean?
This is why I always say the Premier League is like soap opera for men. This is like a separate family in Bold and the Beautiful, right? Tottenham, they got their own three-headed internal problem going on, and it parallels your club, Manchester United. You got the incredible, successful, but nutcase propaganda mental warfare coach in Mourinho.
Yeah.
But he's won everywhere he's ever went, so you kind of allow him to do what he does.
And then he sets us back 3 years.
Harry Kane is supposed to be a top-notch Premier League goal scorer, international with England. He's supposed to be your white knight in shining armor.
He's supposed to win the doggone Golden Boot every year. Harry Kane ain't even 28 yet.
But
Harry Kane is still in his mid-20s.
Don't forget the guy who traditionally sinks Tottenham from the inside out. He loves to destroy Daniel Levy, possibly the worst owner. The only owner I can think of that's worse than
he's
him.
He's like the Arizona Cardinals owner.
He's more like the New York Knicks owner.
Oh, you think he's worse than Bidwell from the Cardinals?
Oh, Bidwell will give him a run for his money. The older Bidwell.
That's what the older Bidwell. I'm talking about Bidwell that left St. Louis, Bidwell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'd give him a run for his money. But
I heard that players had to pay for their own Gatorades. That's how gangster he was getting down for Arizona Cardinals.
Son of a bitch, man. Yeah. He's not trying to hide it whatsoever. You know, he wants to let you know, man, that he's going to win in any kind of negotiation and never take a loss. And so he always finds a way to keep Tottenham one piece away from going to the next level.
And keep people like egging on, like, well, we just one player away. Like, so you constantly.
Then he rolls out, you know, the brand new stadium that, you know, now they spent a few billion on. And now, you know, obviously they're not capitalizing off that new stadium. So it's always a calamity of errors with this club, man. But
so you said he likes drama so he can, like, say that's the reason why. Like, we're not good, though. We just bought a new stadium. I couldn't get no new players because I just bought the new stadium.
Bingo.
Exactly. The next year when the players come in like, well, you know, Harry Kane left. That's why we.
Exactly, man. You know, or somebody that they should sell and be able to make a profit off of to be able to do something positive with in the future. He always finds a way to bumble the deal, to screw up the deal at the 11th hour, which reminds me of your club. Right, so you see the parallels.
It's the difference, though. We get it happening. We just slow.
There's errors being made in management, on the field, and the front office. You know, so I mean, there's plenty of errors.
But I'm just my whole point is, man, we're still gonna get saying Jadon Sancho. I've sent him a love letter. You know, what I'm saying, letting him know. You know, saying that. You know,
I don't think he's coming.
I'm not worried about it. Every week I don't have to really say it again. He's coming. I'm not worried about it.
Keep hope alive, man. Alive,
no, know? But real talk. There is a, like, real talk. Harry Kane could want to – think about that. If Mbappe – we can jump into the Mbappe that's putting in saying, like, yo, I'm out 2021. You have Messi talking about next year as well. Harry Kane is sitting there as well, and he was – they were rooming him with Manchester United for a long time during COVID.
You know, I'm gonna stick to my guns, man. I've always been out on Harry Kane. He's put in some performance.
Yeah, but no, that last game we watched, he literally probably should have five goals against Leicester City.
He always finds a way to screw up, be inconsistent. But when he's on. He always ends up, it seems like at the end of the season, you look at his numbers and it looks like he had a good season. Mm-hmm. But it's never smooth clicking on all cylinders with that guy.
Are you holding a lot against him because they run without him in the Champions League where they didn't even have him?
Well, yeah, I mean, things when I see that too, I'm like, you can really win without him. I don't think that he's an absolute, we must keep him at all costs kind of player. I don't see.
Does Harry Kane stay in England, though, if he goes?
I think he has to, because he's not technical enough, I don't think, to really.
Could he go to Serie A, though? Could he go to Serie A down in Italy?
I could see that. That's possible. But
like a AC Milan or something, picking him up? Or
I think he's still a little too young to make that move. I think he still gets some money in the EPL, and then another 3-4 years down the road, that next contract, Serie A is a good landing.
But who's gonna get him though?
Oh, you know he could be good replacement for Ronaldo by the time he's ready to go to Serie A. Ronaldo,
no, I'm talking about the EPL. I'm talking about EPL if he left time.
I could like to see him go to an Everton. Think about that.
You think he, man? I can see him looking at that like it's beneath him.
But I think that's kind of what the Premier League is telling him, is that he needs to humble himself and go
down. Oh, you're saying the opposite way. You're saying, like, you got it. You need to be like
a middle of the pack team. You're not a top four Premier League team striker. You're a Premier League player, but more a 8-12 club.
Wow. Yeah. You're talking about the man that just won the Golden Boot, what, like 2 years ago?
This is a hot take.
You got a hot take, Ray. This is a hot take.
I just don't see the consistency. I don't see the consistency. It's a flash in the pan couple of seasons.
So would you just say the same thing about – I mean, would you say the same thing about Vardy? Because Vardy, to me, gets a whole bunch of junk goals.
Vardy, he will score a lot of goals because of his athleticism, the hustle, the engine inside of him. You see a lot of those breakaway goals. That's really him just outworking some guys. You know what I mean?
But he's not going to juke nobody. He's not going to give you the Abayame joint or somewhere. He was like, God damn.
That's the difference. I feel like Vardy's more consistent. You know, Vardy's going to put in a shift, and he's going to put in a shift. Harry Kane could score 2 or 3 goals, but he may not show up for 2 or 3 games.
Oh, you say he'll have some highlights where you're like, oh, snap.
Right. But Vardy, this is what we're going to get from him.
He's going to give me a goal a game or a goal every other game at the minimum.
Exactly. But okay. Harry Kane could go 3 to 5 games without giving you a goal.
And then drop a hat trick, and then you look, like you said, look at his stats in the year, and you like, oh, he scored 29 goals, but then you don't know that it was maybe 10 games where he really had 10 hat tricks.
Exactly. Bingo. That's truly how he is. And it's been that way for 3 years now, so that's why I don't feel confident and say as long as we putting his name on the team sheet, we're going to win. I don't feel confident like that. But Vardy, I would.
What about Son? I really like Son from Spurs.
I like Son because he's hardworking and technical. He's doing a job to make other people's job easier. And he'll put the ball in the back of the net as well. So I like him a lot.
So do you see this Everton winning? You think this is something telling that we're seeing?
I don't want to get too high, too low on anybody.
Yeah, because it's the first game.
It's the first game, but I like what I'm seeing, man, because they definitely could have came out and been like, oh, we got a bunch of new guys. You know, everybody needs time to settle. We only had 3 practices, blah, blah, blah. No excuses, putting the ball in the back of the net, looking dangerous, going forward. You know, that's what I want to see, attacking style of play.
So, this year, the Golden Boot, who do you see winning the Golden Boot in the EPL this year, man?
Oh, man, it's a tough one, man. Tough. You know, Salah off to a good start.
And you getting dropped 3 real quick. You went ahead of the pack off the top.
Yeah, if he's going to be taking PKs, and I know.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Who knows how many opportunities he's going to have this
These
year.
PKs are getting ridiculous, but that's a.
Oh, man. I'd already pull the hair out if I had any, man. Penalty kick. That's officiating. This is incredible, man. Piss poor is the only way I can describe it, man. And you know, it's so funny watching these different games this weekend. I was already taking some notes, and I was going to say, hey, I like what I'm seeing from VAR. I actually like some of the things that I'm seeing. Did you see, I forget, it was one of the very first games, the official gave a red card. He went to VAR, reviewed the play, rescinded the red card.
Was that Arsenal?
No, that was Southampton Crystal Palace.
Palace, okay.
Yeah, so he was about to send off a Southampton player, and it was a close bang-bang kind of play with the naked eye. But to go straight to the red card, I felt like was harsh. It wasn't.
In general, you got a red card, you gotta know. Like, you need to know, like.
You got to be.
He needed to kick him in the back. Like.
And it was like halfway through the first half. You know what I mean? So, we still probably had like 60 minutes left to go in the game. So, it was way too early to be doing something like that. Now, VAR got that right. And so, that's what was motivating me to come to the show today and say, hey, I really like that, you know, he went and used the technology. Because we've seen these last 2 years where – if they called down from upstairs to the referee, he would review it. But the referees didn't want to say, let's stop play and I'm going to go make the decision to review it. And that's what we saw this time. Is the referee said, I'm going to give him a red card, but I'm also going to call myself to go make sure I got it right. And when he realized he got it wrong and checked with upstairs for the help, they got the right decision at the end of the day. And that's what we all want.
Nobody wants the right decision. And I don't want anybody getting a red card for no bull, and then you sitting out there with 10 men on the field, and now you got an excuse about how y'all didn't win, and we down 10 men, and you know,
it's one of those things, man, because I like VAR for red cards and fouls, but it's almost hard to get excited when the ball goes in the back of the net because they want to review every goal, which I understand.
It'd be some beautiful stuff you'd be seeing. You'd be like, oh, snap.
You can barely react because you don't want to get too excited because this could all come back. And then you don't really get to react and, you know, cheer because it's all, you know, it's so herky-jerky. It's not, I mean, so what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I got to remember with Greenwood when he, the game against, what was it, Copenhagen, where he had both legs on it and, like, I'm talking about, like, straight to the top corner and it's, super millimeters of offsides.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, dang. I mean, it was the right call, but it was like, God, like that was kind of the flow of it. Like, man, you just took that beautiful goal out of everything. But at the same time, I do want it to be correct. Like, yo, no, it was offsides.
Yeah. You know, it's I think it's something they still try
to. But with those PKs, though, we can talk about that. Man. I feel like every game has a PK now. And I'm talking not just EPL. I'm talking about La Liga. I'm talking about Serie A. I'm talking about Bundesliga. I feel like it's a PK every game.
Yeah, it's just like it's incredible, man. I mean, I mean, are they, is it going to be like the official using his judgment, or are we playing to the letter of the law? Because I mean, there just can't be this many penalty kicks and so many late penalty kicks. Like, I get it if it's early in the game or halfway through, but we're in the 88th minute, the 89th minute. You know,
you gotta let people play. You gotta let them play. Remember the whole thing, like, let them play late in the game. Let them
play, man. You know, like, I don't want the officials determining who's getting points and who's not getting points, man. And like, that's how I felt happening in that Chelsea game. It was literally the 88th minute. You know, I'm excited. My team has had a hell of a day. New talent on the field. You know, the season is bright. It's nothing but up from here, baby. And then just like that, they steal, you know, 2 points from us, and it's a tie game instead of us getting 3 points and getting off to an incredible start, man, you know, over the officiating. And then on that one, they really didn't go to the VAR like I thought they should have. I mean, it was almost one of those things where he should have let VAR make the call instead of him making the call and then going to VAR, because it was one of those situations where he says he can't find enough visual evidence
to overturn. But like, then it shouldn't have been called in the first place. Then if you're
in between. Yeah, you don't blow the whistle and then you let upstairs buzz him and say, hold on a second, let's take a look at that. You know, but I mean, that's incredible, man. Talk about going from the highest to highs to like, wow, here we go again. You know what I mean? Another major bump in the road.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why these PKs are so heavy now in general. Like, is it over? Is defenses getting overly compensated, or?
I feel like it's almost like the NBA now, where like, you really can't play defense on these guys. You can't touch anybody. Like ticky-tack fouls and... Yeah, man. I mean, you breathe on a guy wrong. I mean, you know, I liked watching the game. And, like, you know, I feel like, you know, we about to hit our 40s. I'm turning into that old man back in my day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the early 90s, man, guys were – when a guy got a red card, he did some, you know, WWF.
That's to say, he kicked somebody in the back.
Yeah, exactly, man. Jumping off the top rope, you know, jumping off somebody's shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this stuff now is so ticky-tacky, man. Just, it's incredible.
So let's go back into the our golden boot, man, because I know people are asking, okay. Like, so with our golden boot, man, and then we're also talking about the best goalkeeper as well. Golden boot, your prediction for golden boot.
I'll go throw out Man City De Bruyne. At Man City.
Really? You think LeBron's going to win from midfield?
He's involved in a lot. He pulls the strings for that team. He's going to take all the free kicks, all the dangerous things or kicks around the box. He's going to be around those. And so, yeah.
Because he got the free kicks and all that.
He's a goal-scoring midfielder. So, I think he has a chance at it for sure.
Man, I think it might be Salah, man. I think it might be Salah or, you know what I'm saying?
An obvious pick. I mean, that was my original pick.
On the outside looking in, I'm going to go with Anthony Martial is my second.
A homer. Homer.
I ain't a homer. Anthony Martial is poised for a humongous breakout year.
Yeah, okay.
It just sounded just like a Manchester United fan. Every year somebody's poised for a humongous breakout year. This year is Anthony Martial.
I'm not surprised. You know, you're going to nominate one of your guys for every award there is, period.
No, Odin, now, goalkeeper, I am, you know, goalkeeper, I will keep it real on that one. I'm out on that one. So who you got for goalkeeper of the year?
I'll go a little deeper. I'll go with Pickford at Everton.
Really?
Yeah, because he's the England goalkeeper, the starter for England.
Yep.
You know, and again, playing on that Everton team that really has a chance to make some noise, I think, you know, he's got some good pieces around him to help him really get the clean sheets. I think he's got a great chance.
So you think Everton has a chance to really be top four, then, you're saying, if you're going to pick them?
I'm not going to get crazy and say top four. But I think they could prevent somebody from getting to the top.
Okay. I'm going to go with I want to say Allison, but, man, he just gave up three.
Yeah.
On opening day.
We talked about the leaky defense there.
They yeah, I mean, no money. A part of me wants to say Lens, man.
Okay, that ain't a bad choice.
But at the same time, I don't see Arsenal being top four, but I can see Lens just being a nuisance for you.
Yeah, and just how much they keep the ball. Arsenal keeps it so much, it's hard to score against them because they always want to go forward so much. But he will face a lot of breakaways and counterattack situations, so it can be dangerous for him as well.
Yeah, that goalkeeper one is going to be one. So top defender.
Oh, top defender. You know, I even after the poor showing Van Dijk, I still like.
I mean, I was gonna say the same thing. You can't bet against Black, as they say. Like
That was one game. You know, one game. His body of work overall, I think he's the most steady.
I'm gonna go Trent Alexander-Arnold, man.
Wow. And what he brings, you know, offensively as well as defensively, Trent Arnold's, you know, he's and so young too.
Yeah, he's what, 21, 22?
Yeah, definitely under 25. He's a
young. Because he won the under 22 award like 2 years ago. So I know he's under 22 or that's just turned 22.
Hell of a prospect, you know.
Do you see them bringing him up to winger maybe or midfield?
I like him at the back. No, he's dangerous, man. I do. He's dangerous. And, you know, talk about around free kicks, getting others involved, the whip, the kind of curve and pace, the deadly crosses. I mean, man, he brings so much. And he's quick, you know, other wingers, shutting down other wingers and keeping up with those guys. So, no, I definitely keep him right there on that right back.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout-out to Aaron Wan-Bissaka as well in this situation.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there ain't no homer pick on that. He can't score for shit. Like, he ain't going to score you no goals. He ain't going to do nothing, no. But he gonna ride his dude on that side, on that right side. He just going to ride.
Yeah. Oh, he's an athlete. He's one of those athletes where, like, you're not – no.
Harry Maguire is going to be his ending, though. Like, you know, it's not going to look good potentially because Harry Maguire is going to be trying to score goals.
And Wan-Bissaka cleans up a lot of space.
So you said he makes Harry Maguire at least better.
Yeah, he does. because what Harry Maguire lacks in pace, Wan-Bissaka being such an athlete, it's taking away that space.
Because he's going sideline to sideline. He's going back and forth, covering everything for you. That whole one side. One whole side. He got a whole – it's almost how Revis was. Where it's like, you know, I ain't got to worry about this whole right side.
Right.
He's going to have up and down. He's going to be down here. He's going to be up.
Yeah, ain't nothing happening on this side.
You might have solved the Harry Maguire thing, though. Maybe that's why you think he can try to score. I ain't got to even worry about nothing on this right side.
Man, you got to get him focused. He don't know what he want. He want to go to Greece and fight and curse and all types of stuff. You got going on.
Yeah, but also I also want to give a shout-out to what's the dude from Leicester that's dope, that was hurt, Leicester City, that was hurt. Because they had like seven dudes hurt by the time we played them end of last year. Let me see, what's his name? Dude was killing.
Ndidi?
No, Ndidi's is a midfielder.
Yeah, midfielder. What position is this guy?
He's a center back. Oh, you know what? I take that back. No, I'm thinking Madison, man. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, okay.
He's a midfielder, though. I was thinking, but Madison plays that CDM, though. You know, yeah. He's back there. That's what they was hurting with in general. I was thinking Madison. Man, he's not even a midfielder. He's not even a defensive player. But, I mean, he's a dope defensive player, man. I like Madison in general.
Yeah, he definitely helps that club a lot.
All right, man, let's talk about this Mbappe thing, man. I mean, let's go into the fight. Like, we just talked about this fight. That happened in the streets of was it Emirates or was it in Paris? This game?
I think they were in Paris, if I'm not mistaken.
So let me this is live podcasting, y'all, because this literally just happened. So I'm gonna read this article. Let's see what exactly.
Yeah, it was over on the Daily. I'll shoot you the link here.
I got it right now. Five sent off at injury time. So this happened late in the game then.
Yep, it was towards the end,
All right, so this is, as he left the pitch, the Brazilian told the fourth official he had heard a racist comment. Florian Thauvin scored the only goal as PSG lost in their opening two two Liga 1 game for the first time since 84-85. But a late brawl saw PSG substitute Leonardo Perisi, Lyevin Kozawa, and Marcel duo Jordan Amavi and Dario Benedito sent off along with Neymar. The rest we watched the wow, so here we go, VAR. VAR replay of a punch from Neymar before showing him a straight red card. After the match, Neymar tweeted, that his only regret was not hitting Alvaro Gonzalez in the face. Damn. Having struck him on the back of the head. In the post-match press conference, Marseille's manager, Andre Vaz Boas said, there is no place for racism in football, but I don't think that was the case. We'll have to look at it. So, in front of a crowd of 5,000 at Parc des Princes, that is in Paris.
Yep. Wow, man. Racism alive and well, you know what I mean? Pretty incredible stuff there. You look at that image of the players on both teams, and it's so funny. You got Brazilians. You got French players there. One of the players is he's from Slovakia.
A
couple of different Brazilians involved in this whole situation.
And it's the funny thing is PSG in general historically has been the more racist organization, which is the funniest part.
Yeah, and their coach, Villas-Boas, he's no stranger to racism either. I mean, he coached in Italy and has been involved in, you know, the banana throwing incidents. So he's no stranger, man, to this. And, you know, it's a sad thing to see. You know, we were talking before we kind of went live, man. I wanted to talk about complimenting the game, you know, what you're seeing in the Premier League, you know, covering the seats. They're doing Black Lives Matter, you know, huge messaging. The players taking a knee at the beginning of the game. Still, this is season number 2 now. That we're seeing that. And you know, I mean, I guess they don't have fans in the stands kind of like the NFL did, but you saw what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs during a moment of silence. You know, just look at it. It's happening actually on the pitch now in France. So, I mean, without even, you know, fans in the stands. So that's normally where you see a lot of the racism come from is the fans. And it's, you know, one thing, like how do you get 20, 30, 40,000 people to kind of be on the same page mentally of what's right and what's wrong. But now you can't even, the 22 players on the pitch, keep racism out of it. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting to happen in France too, man. Like France is a little bit, I mean, besides a couple of squads, like, Cassis must have been getting rowdy. I think PSG's just open. I think people are just getting at them because Neymar is a hothead in general. Neymar be out there doing the most. He was doing the most in that game, in the Champions League championship. He, like we talked about last week, he's running after the goalkeeper when he's got on a back pass, like he's going to really do something. Like, you know, so I didn't see the game, but I can see him just being extra like that because this is his first game back too.
Right.
Because he was on, because they was kicking in. Where was they kicking in at Ibiza? Got COVID.
I know he's on a yacht somewhere with some, you know, with his homies and his people from Brazil.
Half the team got COVID because of that yacht trip.
Man, incredible, man. Incredible.
So I can see him coming out there. It's my first game. You know, I'm back, baby. I'm finna get something popping. Maybe he ain't. They may be wrong for their racial insensitivity and calling somebody out their name. But maybe Neymar was being extra up there.
You know, I'm just trying to believe you, man. And with Neymar,
I'm not condoning what they did, but I can see Neymar being out there extra. Like, come on, dude, this is second game of the year, and you out here trying to cover covering all four of the four parts of the field. Like, you 4 out of 4 everywhere. Like, come on, man. Like, we just were signed.
You know, Neymar,
we ain't gonna make top 4. We just trying to get a little check. Like, I'm just trying to get my check.
Dude, you're incredible. And I wouldn't put it – I'm not saying that you're wrong with that sort of assessment, just knowing what we know of Neymar. He's not the most reserved, quiet sort of guy. So anything's possible with him. But I want to wait, hold my judgment until we get more details on actually who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's the more schizophrenic version of Pogba.
Yeah, I mean, how good is Neymar's French really at this point, knowing him?
he probably refused to learn it. I can see him refusing to learn it.
I can totally see him refusing to learn the language.
And so speaking Portuguese in the huddle.
Exactly. So, you know, what language did they disrespect him in? You know what I mean? So.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. So, like, how did you even know that it was disrespect because you refused to learn the language?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. There can be so many miscommunications, but I think there's also a lot of nonverbal disrespect.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You refuse as well.
But look, like Neymar, you were good for punching him and stuff, but I could see you acting a little bit over the top at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, Neymar is a prima donna's prima donna, you know what I mean? So, staying on him,
with our last topic coming up, we alluded to it earlier, because this all, everybody, I know y'all like, oh man, they've been talking about Premier League and all this stuff. We're going to talk about other leagues coming up soon, but the Premier League just started. It's the biggest league. It's the one that's popping the most.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
Every other league is a 2-3 horse race, maybe one horse race. Exactly. It's no point to cover it that hard.
The Premier League is where all the players want to go. I mean, that's where you want to go.
Yeah, we'll talk about the other team. When Champions League get closer and we get our Champions League groups and all that, we'll, you know, be diving in. We talked about Messi for a whole half the show last week. So, I mean, but now, does Neymar ask for a transfer request if Mbappe has now? Because now he's sitting on the Titanic.
I'm starting to think, you know, Neymar is almost like a Terrell Owens, where there's all sorts of talent is undeniable, but all the other baggage that comes along with him. I mean, you know, really when you have a Neymar, you got to take care of the team and take care of Neymar. You know what I mean?
He got to have his own bus, and then they got their bus.
He's got his own entourage, and, you know, he's a big-time celebrity and all of his own.
Because he's got NBA players coming to your game before COVID, like hanging out with you. Y'all kicking it. They on the field with you.
He's a Jordan brand athlete.
That's right.
So he's got all kind of stuff going on. So,
could you see him putting in a transfer request now? Do you, before next week's show, do you see a thing of him being like, I'm out too? Or does he be like, cool, motherfucker, like, you out? This is my squad now, though. I'll figure out somebody to plug you in.
People love talent, man, and will roll the dice on talent. So I definitely say Neymar. Somebody would spend the money, give Neymar a chance in the Premier League.
No, I'm saying when Neymar asked for a transfer request, would he be like, I'm out, or be like, oh, no, this is my squad now, fully?
Oh, no. No, I think he's leaving. I think he's going to
leave. So you're already in anticipation of him being.
He's won that trophy. He's won that trophy already. So, you know, at his skill level, you know, why not go somewhere else, try to get a bit of a fresher start? And, you know, the Premier League is that league that he really hasn't shown.
I was going to go back to the days of our lives, and is him going back to Barcelona keep Messi there?
Oh, wow.
Because they're boys.
Yeah.
Does that keep him? Like, so now we, like you said, we go back to the soap opera. Now, does Neymar coming back keep Messi from leaving?
Now
Real Madrid thinks they're going to get Mbappe. Now Man City's involved because because all these dominoes affecting, you know what I mean?
Power struggle. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't rule it out, man. I do think that he burned a lot of bridges at Barcelona after he left. Because he kind of did it, you know, like a thief in the middle of the night. You know?
He did the Indianapolis Colts when they moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis.
He also had, you know, his run-ins with the law in Spain on the tax issues, you know. So, I think he still may owe taxes in Spain.
He does owe taxes. Yeah, if he comes back, though, that might be a part of his contract. Like, you're going to pay my taxes off for it.
Hey, man. You know,
but can Messi force their hand, or would they just be like –
I don't know.
Does Messi got that much juice?
I don't know, man.
Or does Messi not even care? I'll be like, man, I don't want him. I'm ready to go to Man City. I'm only here for the
Man City, you know, they've had some characters of his ilk before. So I think Man City's a really good landing spot. Talking about my earlier point, he's the right age to fit in with that young talent pool that they have amassed right now.
And he can kind of be that captain. Does he automatically become the captain in Man City? Does he automatically
take the captain? I don't think he necessarily becomes the captain, but I think he becomes the talisman. He is the guy that's stirring the drink.
So you say, so even in the huddle, the captain is sitting listening to Messi, even though you got the patch. But Messi's talking to everybody about what we're going to do.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. He's going to have his own press conference. You know what I mean? So, absolutely.
Yeah, man, dude, I'm excited, man. Dude, I'm more excited about Premier League way more than it's basketball, NBA, Premier League, like right here. NFL, I forgot. I didn't even draft my fantasy league. I forgot my fantasy league draft, though. It went in auto mode. I mean, I'm in the league still, but yeah, it's like it was auto mode. And it's like
a couple of guys in my office tried to get me in an NFL league, and I said, you know, I'm going to pass. I don't even care.
And I've been keeping up, and I didn't even think it was coming up. And the only reason I'm in it because it's my friends from college, and it's like,
right, this is stay close.
Yeah, it's a staple. Right. We all in the same group chat, you know.
Right.
You know, and then my team, my team name is, you know, is all on my nutsack. I like to see that at the top of the standings.
Oh man, but I do tell you, that's something I do want to do, man. Is that FIFA 2021 is going to drop. I think it's October.
No, you know what? We need to do that. Maybe we need a show league.
Because we can set up a league on that, man. That'd be
Do a show league. We should do a show league, man. Even if we get 5, 10, 15 people, we'd do a league, and then everybody's kind of – we just everybody play a game on maybe Sundays, and we just figure out times and stuff like that. Or if you talk to such and such, you can play on Tuesday, but this week is I got to work on – just like any other – like, we schedule our shows. Like, man, you got to work on Tuesday? All right, well, then let's play our game on Wednesday then.
Yeah, we can make it work for everybody when it's convenient, but I think that would be dope. Keep us closer to the game. Paying attention to you know, how players are performing on different clubs. So that would be something fun, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. So this week we got a lot of games coming up, man. Man, plugged into it. Like, this is a beautiful time to be – there is a lot of bubbling up for a Premier League soccer, La Liga. I think Champions League is going to be blown up this year. I think it's going to be stupid.
Champions League going to be a good time, man. It's
going to be about October. That's around the corner. The brackets drop into this month. I mean, groups drop into this month.
It's such an arms race, man. So many talented, you know, clubs around the world, man. So it's always a dogfight, and some monkey wrenches you don't see coming.
Shout out to one of our listeners. We have a listener in the Netherlands, man. He wanted to shout us out. He tweeted me, and he was like, he listened back to old episode. We said Spurs is the biggest run. He's like, no, Ajax was that same year. And then they broke down how – he was like – he after seeing the tweet, he broke down like they came from qualifying round to play a second qualifying. I was like, I didn't even know Ajax went through all that. They went through every round. That's
a really, really good point. And back to your previous point, it's that Ajax system that is what you're seeing now at Liverpool and at Bayern Munich.
You're saying they adopted an Ajax system and just moved to a bigger stage.
That's being deployed now. And talk about changing the game. He's absolutely spot on. The Dutch league has definitely been a huge influence, for a really long time. And what we're seeing right now today.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that it went like that. Okay, wow. Yeah, shout out to you. I think the name is Dimitri. I have to look it up. Dimitri, from Netherlands, man. And shout out to you. He's like, I know you all said that Spurs had the best run. He's like, no, Ajax, look it up. And he broke it down. He was like,
I stand corrected. I didn't think.
No, I know. I had to sit back, and I was like, I tweeted him back, like, no. Well, I'm about to speak on the show, man. Like, no, you're right. I'm about to step back on that one. You're right, man. You know. Yeah, man. So everybody email us straightolc@gmail.com, man. Dude, it's always been good, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a good show. First week in the book.
Yeah. We're going to hit you up online, though, too, man.
Definitely hit me up on Twitter, at PhoenixPiff. Definitely like any interaction, man, talking about
– you got to get your IG, man, even if it's just for soccer, man. You got to get your IG, man.
I got to get on that, man. I'm a table that had that – try to have that already, get my social media together for next week's show, man. Solidified across the board. But definitely we're going to see the two Manchester clubs come back next week. So that's –
Man. And this is something before we go out. Do you think the league purposely made all these games supposed to be, like, overly heavy-handed besides the mid-tier teams, like – oh, we're going to put, like – it's not like, you know, you didn't want to put, man – I mean, like, it'd be kind of dope if it was Chelsea versus Manchester United the first week. Or do you want to wait? I guess they want to wait for the meat, you know what I'm saying, like a little bit longer, or do you want to start off with a bang, or I guess...
Well, I think they gave you a little bit of bang with the champions, Liverpool, on show. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but they put them against Leeds. I thought that was going to be a massacre. That was just extra. That was extra good loving for us, though. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Performance wise, but like I said, Leeds being a big club. I mean,
oh, you're saying because of the name of Leeds and how Leeds was popping at one point.
That's bright lights on both sides. Gotcha. But your point's true too. Nobody could foresee Liverpool putting the ball in the net as much, or Leeds putting the ball in the net as much as they did. So, no, that was a great show for the league overall, for sure.
All right, y'all. We will be back next week talking about some more, man. Hopefully Neymar puts in his thing, you know, 2 weeks. As you say, this may be the name of the show. These are the days of our lives.
Maybe. I think we got to go with this one, man, because there's so many twists and turns. Excited for next week, man. And, yeah, it's been real. Thanks for listening.
All right, y'all.